searching podcasts for The Daily Perspective. Okay, The Daily Perspective podcast coming up.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
And we're standing with our toes on that line every day. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. For this Friday, the 19th day of June 2020, as some will remember it, it is Juneteenth. It's interesting. Speaking of Juneteenth, and I have a story in the stack about it today, and that is one of the things that's brought it to mind, but earlier this morning, as is my habit usually, I was watching the Facebook Live broadcast of the Chicks on the Right from Indianapolis, and they, on Fridays, they do Q&A, and on most days, they are keeping one eye on the comments that are rolling across the screen as they're doing the live cast. Someone mentioned Juneteenth. I think the question was, did you know today was Juneteenth? Did you know Juneteenth was actually a thing, I think was the question. And they were just like, well, of course, we're not idiots. We know what that is. And I responded, I actually added my own comment. You would be surprised how many people don't know what Juneteenth is. And that reminded me that last night, while I was scanning social media, unwinding after the day, I saw a comment by someone on Twitter who got a bunch of followers. And this guy said, you know, I am a politics junkie. And he just basically described kind of what I am. I'm a news junkie, a politics junkie. This guy has been in politics, involved in and commenting on politics for many years online in social media. And he said, until just a couple of years ago, I didn't know what Juneteenth was. And I would say that it is fair to say that most Americans, up until just recently, until just about now, were completely unaware of Juneteenth. And as I said to someone in a back and forth in a comment section recently, that's not a racist thing. It's a social thing. Because those of us not in the social circles of African Americans, Black Americans, don't know about the traditions and the ins and outs of life in the Black community. There are many things we're not familiar with. And to be angry with us for not being aware, to put it politely, is just a little silly. Because that's like being angry with someone who really doesn't know life in your neighborhood and being angry with them for not celebrating somebody's birthday that lives in your neighborhood. Well, you don't live there. You don't know these people. Why should you be expected to know anything about this particular day? That's not unreasonable. But it is unreasonable to be angry and to point accusing fingers and to make accusations of racism for people not to be aware of something that has nothing to do with their lives. So, today is Juneteenth. We talked about that the other day. It's a celebration of a day that actually falls after a declaration, and it's an interesting twist on a way to celebrate a day. And it has to do with emancipation, and I challenge you today to actually go dig into it and look it up yourself, because I did the other day here, and I'm not going to go back over all of that again. But I encourage you to get acquainted with it, to familiarize yourself with it, because somebody on social media is going to challenge you at some point. So you should be able to say, yeah, I'm familiar with it. And then be honest with them. But I wasn't familiar with it up until now. And the reason is that most people aren't familiar with it. And when someone completely unfamiliar with it hears the name Juneteenth, their eyebrows go together and this quizzical look crosses their face and they turn to you and ask, what's that? As my wife did the other night. And I told you about that. Now, my wife's been around me and my obsession with the news and the goings-on for quite some time. And she's not unexposed herself. She comes home talking about things that I've already hashed out much earlier in the day. And she's just like, can you believe this? Did you see this? And I'm like, yep, saw it earlier. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And many times she comes bringing the social media twist on a story, and I'll find myself saying, yeah, do you know what really happened? Here. And I'll unfold things for her so she sees exactly how things played out. And many times the response is the drop of the jaw and the, you got to be kidding me. They did that because of that? Mm-hmm. Because most people just watching what their friends are posting on Facebook and Twitter don't really know what's going on. They just know what their friends are saying. As I've said before, it's like that old party game where one person starts a rumor, tells somebody, whispers it into their ear, and by the time it goes around the room and comes back, it's totally changed. Or it's changed enough that it means something completely different. So you have to dig beyond social media to find out what's really going on. And in the case of Juneteenth, I encourage you to do a little homework today so that you can actually be informed, okay? Because we should always be informed, because being uninformed makes you really a victim of people who want to manipulate you. So go inform yourself. Hey, remember I told you the other day about Aunt Jemima, Nancy Green? Yeah, Nancy Green. I shared her story about being one of America's first black millionaires. And I actually, on social media, I copied and pasted from Wikipedia about how she became a millionaire. And just a quick paragraph on her story, which I copied and pasted from Wikipedia. Right now, at this very moment, if you go look Aunt Jemima, a.k.a. Nancy Green, up on the internet, you will find the story. And the one on Wikipedia has been edited. It actually has been rewritten with more detail about her, this person being a model and an outspoken spokesperson and yada, yada, yada. But they removed everything about her fortune and her success. In fact, the story almost paints her as though she was this brave soul who worked all of her life. But they don't tell you that she was one of America's first black millionaires. And you do a little search, you won't find it anywhere. In the space of just 72 hours, the story of Nancy Green has been permanently altered on the internet so that those doing research into her life will not learn of her success as a black woman in America. And that should send chills up your spine. Because if your sources of information can be edited and the truth in stories can be scrubbed from your sources of information, you cannot have confidence that you're being told the truth anywhere about anything. Which is why I encourage you almost every day to expand your information sources, to look as far and wide as you can, to get as many angles on the stories as you can. This is why I provide show notes every single day. I provide you a single link to a story, and in that story, you are probably going to see other links which branch out to substantiating information. And in some cases, at the bottoms of the stories are lists of links to substantiation. You should check the stories, check the links, and learn. And if at all possible, archive the stories. Copy and paste them to your computer. If you keep printed records, print them out. File them. Because it won't be long before big tech decides it's important to scrub inconvenient truths from the internet so that you won't be able to find them when you go back to look for them again. Have you ever had that happen to you? Where you know you have seen a story and you go back and search for what you read? Maybe not just in the last 72 hours, but you know you saw the story. You go back and search for it and it's not there anymore. I've lost count of the number of times it's happened to me. Because at some point, someone realizes, wow, that's very inconvenient for that story to be out there. And poof, it's gone. Absolutely gone. And so is the story of Nancy Green. It's been rewritten. It's been sanitized for your protection. So please, be wise and understand that many information sources aren't interested in telling you the truth. They're interested in telling you their version of the truth. Fortunately, people are smart. At least some people are. And they see beyond the bluster, they see beyond the deception, and they often act. And that's what's encouraging about what's happening on the behalf of Officer Garrett Rolfe in Atlanta. Garrett Rolfe has been accused, charged with felony murder. It's a ridiculous charge that won't stick. In fact, it's a charge that won't stick, and when he is not convicted, there will be riots. Count on it. But thousands of people have stepped up. They've contributed to a fundraiser for fired Atlanta police officer Garrett Rolfe, who was charged with felony murder Wednesday for his role in the shooting death of Rayshard Brooks. The nonprofit conducting the fundraiser, the Georgia Law Enforcement Organization, told WSB-TV that as of Thursday, over $200,000 had been raised in an effort to help Rolfe's family pay for legal services and general necessities. The nonprofit, which argues that Rolfe is being used as a political pawn by the district attorney, added that the money has come in from more than 2,000 contributors. The nonprofit says on its website, Officer Rolfe was involved in the justified shooting of Rayshard Brooks on June 12, 2020. The videos clearly show that the shooting was justified. However, the district attorney, Paul Howard, who is losing his election, has chosen to charge Officer Rolfe with 11 charges, including felony murder, and it's 100% for political gain. The DA is losing his election, and he is also under investigation himself for stealing $185,000 in tax money and transferring it directly into his personal account. Rolfe, you know the story. You know what's happened. I don't need to hash through this again. But you do need to know, in case you don't know, and I don't know how you couldn't by now, that D.A. Howard actually, 2 weeks before, had acknowledged that a taser is considered in Georgia a deadly weapon under Georgia law. He was announcing charges against Atlanta police officers who employed tasers while making an arrest during the George Floyd protests. It's interesting that this district attorney feels completely different when it's a convicted felon. Yeah. He was a convicted felon. He was out on probation. You know, the COVID-19 stuff. They were trying to thin people out. I have a story somewhere. Maybe I'll get to it today. It's a long, long story. Hopefully I can get to some of it. That goes into some more detail about what this guy did, how he was out on probation, and why he ended up fighting so hard when the handcuffs came out. More on that a little bit later, hopefully. I'll shuffle some things around if I have to. But good for you, 2,000 people. Good for those who have stepped up to help this man who has been unjustly charged, politically motivated by a man who is apparently a criminal himself, wearing a suit and the title of district attorney, desperate to keep his position of power in the structure in Atlanta, Georgia. Good for you, defending the police officer who was working within the bounds of his job to do his job. Good for you. Keep standing up for what's right. Welcome back. It's the Tuesday, or the Friday edition. Wow. So many things stuck in the front of my brain. It's the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast, the 19th day of June, 2020. Happy weekend, y'all. Oh, it's a good day in the neighborhood. I got some grass to mow, some yard work to do, some sweating. I know you probably do too. So let's get busy with it as soon as we can, okay? Maybe that's what you're doing while you're listening. Well, congratulations. Can you come over and work on my yard? It really needs a lot of help, especially the backyard. The backyard looks like a project. I mean, my backyard right now looks like one of those scenarios where you gather up all the neighbors and go work on the old guy's property because he just can't do it anymore. That's what my backyard looks like. And it's because of all the crap I've been through over the last few years with the arthritis and the surgeries and all that stuff. And now I'm getting back up to speed. And everything that I used to just go, that's nothing, I'll get it knocked out, it's all become a monumental task. But I'm kind of chipping away at it, you know, just bit by bit by bit, and trying to get things back into normality again. And fortunately, I have the time, and I can do that because, hey, I'm basically, except for getting up every day and coming to visit with you and occasional other studio work, I'm pretty much retired. So I've got the time on my hands. So today, me and the mower and the other lawn equipment are going to go and do some sweat work. Well, I don't know if you saw it, but last night, Tucker Carlson reported that the stepmother of Atlanta police officer Garrett Rolfe, the officer who allegedly shot and killed Rayshard Brooks, has been fired from her job at a mortgage company in the area.
So we've been telling you the story of the police officer charged, Officer Rolfe. Until today, his stepmother, her name was Melissa Rolfe, was the HR director at a place called Equity Prime Mortgage in Atlanta, Georgia. But today, she was let go. She's no longer in that role. Apparently, she was fired, and her only crime was being Officer Rolfe's stepmother. According to a source familiar with the matter who spoke to this program, Rolfe was promised that her job was safe, but today she was told, and we're quoting, "We have to terminate our relationship with you." No other explanation was offered, and honestly, no other explanation was needed. It was obvious what happened. Rolfe has already been scrubbed from the company's website, wiped away, as the Bolsheviks did with those who lost favor with Joseph Stalin. That will keep happening until lawmakers decide to resist the mob and protect ordinary people from its predations. This is where the country is going. It's becoming a place where you can be punished for the supposed misdeeds of your relatives. You don't want to be that country. All of us should put on the brakes immediately.
Well, later in the program, he did say that the company reached out and claimed that she was fired for social media posts, but did not elaborate on what the posts were or what they said. He concludes, "The bottom line is, it seems pretty clear they fired this woman because of who her stepson was. And just to restate the obvious, that shouldn't happen in this country because it's wrong and people should say it's wrong or it will continue to keep happening." Now, the company has released a statement via their Twitter account, which didn't mention Roth's stepmother's name, but appeared to allude to her termination and stressed that the company was committed to diversity. Here is what that statement said. "Diversity, equality, and inclusion are deeply entrenched in the principles that help guide the actions of our organization. Our 23 fundamental principles comprise the EPM way, and the first one is do the right thing always. Our unwavering commitment to always doing the right thing has led us to sever ties with an employee who has expressed views that do not align with our culture. We do not tolerate racism, discrimination, or injustices of any kind. EPM was co-founded by people of color intent on building a better future, the best way they knew how, by bringing diverse cultures into the conversation. We view business through an empathetic lens. We care about the communities we serve and the people we employ. We have intentionally built a team that is reflective of the U.S. population. Not only do we make a concerted effort to ensure black people are in positions of authority, but we have recently increased overall diversity within our management from 68% to 80%, and we are nowhere near finished. We are dedicated to building wealth in communities of color that have historically suffered from systemic racism. We recognize the roadblocks these communities face, and we have and will continue to honor our commitment to removing them. Our efforts have significantly increased loans to Hispanics, Asians, Blacks, Native Americans, Pacific Islanders, and veterans to enrich their communities. We owe our successes to our employees who listen generously, speak courageously, and choose positivity. Representation matters, and so do black lives. Known to many as Equity Prime Mortgage externally, we thrive by the principle of empowering people more. We will continue to be a resource and voice to financially empower those we serve and strive to guarantee diversity every step of the way." So apparently, Equity Prime Mortgage is a very woke company. And I would be willing to bet a sizable amount of money that what has happened to Ms. Rolfe is that someone at the company realized, hey, isn't she the mother of that murderous, vile, racist, dirtbag police officer? Let's go dig through her Twitter account and her Facebook and see what she's really like. And when they did so, they dug back into the past and found things that they could interpret as being racist. Of course, the only thing you have to do to be racist is to disagree with a liberal. You know that. So, she no doubt is a conservative person expressing conservative views, which honestly are just sane, level-headed views about life. And because her stepson is in the news, and they could interpret her social media posts in the light that they needed to, they terminated her. I'd be willing to bet that's exactly what happened. the cancel culture has canceled a woman who was related to someone in the news. What this means to you and to me is that anyone who is not happy with us for any reason whatsoever can dig back through our social media posts and accuse us of things which are far from true in order to put us in our corner and to keep us in line. We've recently seen this happen so much, but we saw it happen here in my city in Birmingham, Alabama, where the pastor of a church who simply liked something, a few things posted by Charlie Kirk on social media, someone decided to be a busybody and dig in and find things they could in some way be offended about and then say, well, that's pretty concerning. And that's all it took. Two satellite church campuses were shut down because the leases were pulled by the city. The work being done in the inner city to benefit school children who don't get lunches, who don't get fed breakfast and supper because their parents are poor. The people who need help with their property because they can't manage anymore. The people who are having trouble making ends meet and can't pay their bills. They won't get help anymore. Simply because some busybody decided they needed to be offended by something. And now this is what's happened to this woman. This officer's stepmother is now the victim of the social media mob. And her company, which embraces diversity, equality, and inclusion, and uses buzzwords like representation, has decided that they need to break ties with this woman. And it has to be because of who her son is and what they choose to believe has happened before all the evidence is actually in. Because to this company, Equity Prime Mortgage, this company apparently chooses to believe it's more important to appeal to those who claim victim status than it is to be wise in business. But I will tell you this, a mortgage company doesn't stay in business for long if it's unwise in its lending practices. If it lends to people who cannot or will not repay their debts. And I would be willing to also bet that if you looked into their lending practices and to their record of lending to people, they may brag about loans to Hispanics, Asians, Blacks, Native Americans, Pacific Islanders, veterans, and enriching their communities. But I bet they've turned down a lot of applications to the very people they claim to be championing, because those people have no means of paying the loans back. Maybe it's time somebody did a little digging to find out how really committed to social justice Equity Prime Mortgage is. Welcome back to this Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast, the 19th day of June, 2020, heading into a weekend. Hope you and yours are doing well. I was checking my email, and I've told you before that I signed up a while back for the Obama for America, whatever he called it to begin with, you know, his little online social justice community organizing email list. And then they transmorphed into something else and call themselves All on the Line, which is involved in redistricting. Actually, what All on the Line is involved in is gerrymandering. They say they are fighting gerrymandering, but what they're actually doing under the guise of fighting unfair redistricting, which of course they say is depriving people of color and minorities of the vote, what they're actually doing is gerrymandering. They're restructuring the district, those voting districts, the way they want them to be to benefit Democrats. So what the people at All on the Line are doing is gerrymandering. And all at the same time, they're proposing gerrymandering while pointing fingers, the righteous fingers of the bony fingers of righteous indignation at the Republicans, screaming, "Oh, they're gerrymandering, it's evil." But then what they're doing themselves is exactly the same thing. They're just redrawing the lines to benefit themselves, which is crazy that people actually buy into it and believe, "Oh, they're correcting so much wrongdoing." Well, no, they're not. They're just changing. They're just changing the lines to benefit themselves the same way they're accusing Republicans of doing it. And it's been going on for a long, long time. It's happened. But the thing is that the Republicans never whine about the districts being redrawn to benefit someone else. They just go to work and find ways to win. But the Democrats say, "Oh, this is so unjust." Well, I got an email from these people in my inbox this morning, and I just wanted to relay this to you and point something out that I found very, very interesting. It says, "Mark, June 19th holds a special place in the history of many black Americans. It's the day enslaved people in Galveston, Texas discovered their newfound freedom, more than 2 years after President Lincoln had already signed the Emancipation Proclamation. Now, 155 years later, there's still work to be done to ensure everyone in this country is treated equally. As black Americans and allies protest the systemic racism fueled by our country's dark history, we want and need to stand in solidarity with them." I'm going to come back to this, okay? Just this little paragraph. I'm highlighting it even as I speak. I'm going to come back to it. "The protests that spread across the world over the last few weeks, have again surfaced for what many black Americans have known for generations, that the systemic racism built into the foundation of American society endures to this day. Its toxic persistence has resulted in the senseless murder of countless black people in our country. It fuels disparities in our criminal justice system, in voting, in education, in health care, in employment, in housing, and in far too many aspects of everyday life. The recent tragic murders of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Tony McDade, Ahmaud Arbery, and too many more brought into stark relief the racial injustices and inequalities that pervade our nation's criminal justice system." I just need to step aside here and remind you of what I said the other day. The use of the word murder here is inaccurate, but it's inflammatory, and that's why they use it. "The structural racism embedded in that system is a reflection that our society writ large. We must do everything we can to reform the criminal justice system and put an end to police misconduct and brutality against black Americans. But we can't stop there. We must commit ourselves to actively engaging in the difficult and sometimes uncomfortable conversations necessary to meaningfully address explicit racism and implicit bias so we can finally root out systemic inequality. Today, we are asking you to support some of the organizations on the ground that are leading this fight for change and in many cases providing direct aid to communities. We stand shoulder to shoulder with the protesters who have been calling for change for far too long and with the community organizers and activists who have dedicated their life's work to demanding justice and dismantling systemic racism and oppression. Please join us in supporting this movement. By donating, your contribution will be split among the Minnesota Freedom Fund, Black Visions Collective, Reclaim the Block, Black Lives Matter Global Network, Campaign Zero, Movement for Black Lives, Emergency Relief Fund, and Community Justice Exchange. And let's see. Oh, here we go. There's all these little buttons for various amounts. And then at the bottom it says, at All on the Line, we will continue to push for more fair and equitable America, more fair and equitable America that gives all people a voice in our democracy. And we will work every single day to ensure this country lives up to its ideals of justice and fairness for all. The links for these donations, would you like to take a guess at where the links go? Act Blue. Act Blue. Now, they say that your contribution, should you make one, will be split among those foundations that they talked about. And we already know that Black Lives Matter Global Network and the Movement for Black Lives, those two organizations are deeply corrupt. They're leftist radical organizations, as well as the rest of them. And we also know that Act Blue is a Democrat fundraising site. Now, they may claim that your donation, regardless of the amount, will be split among those organizations. But as we've seen recently, when people donate to a cause, very rarely, especially on the left, does their donation actually go where they're told it will go. Now, back to that paragraph I highlighted. 155 years later, there's still work to be done to ensure everyone in this country is treated equally as Black Americans and allies protest this systemic racism fueled by our country's dark history. Systemic racism fueled by our country's dark history. I think it's time for a little history lesson. One, there is absolutely no credible evidence, no data to support systemic racism. None. Next, our country's dark history. At the time of our nation's founding, of course, what they're talking about, our country's dark history, they're talking about slavery. At the time of our nation's founding, slavery was widely practiced. It was not exclusive to just Africans, and it was something that was accepted as a way of life. At that time, our founders didn't like that. They saw it for the evil it was, because at that time, people's minds and hearts were beginning to change, and they were desiring to see the end of the practice of racism. And our founders structured things so that they could begin the work of abolishing slavery on our soil. The Republican Party was established for this purpose, to fight slavery. The Democrats fought for slavery. That has not changed. They may tell you there was a big switch. That's a big lie. Our country's dark history is that in the very beginnings, something common around the world was going on here. But when our nation was founded, when our documents were inscribed and signed by those great men, our founding documents laid the framework that made it possible for us to eliminate slavery on our soil. all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. All men, not just slave owners, not just people with a certain skin color, all men. From the very beginning, our founders declared the equality of all, not just some, not just the privileged, but all. And fought to end the scourge of slavery on American soil. It took about 80 years to make it happen. But it happened. Something so deeply entrenched in society and into the psyche of a society takes time. It takes time to convince people of certain things that they just accept. It takes time to change things that are just as natural and as normal as the sunrise. It takes time. It took about 80 years, but it happened. Things moved slowly. As we've just found out, just reading this particular message about Juneteenth, it took more than 2 years after President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation for the enslaved people of Galveston, Texas, to learn about their freedom. It took 2 years for the news to travel across the country to Galveston. 2 years. Then was not like now. Now, someone in Washington, D.C. can pass gas in the hallway, and within 10 seconds, all of America can know about it. Back then, a president can free the slaves, and it would take 2 years for the news to cross halfway across the country. Things are different. And to judge our past based on today's standards is one deception the left uses. Don't be deceived. There is no systemic racism. The dark history that they refer to has been manufactured by the left. When you look at it in its proper context, our history is bright, because our nation was founded on that principle that all men, not just white men, but all men were created equal. And on that foundation, we worked for decades to abolish the horror of slavery in America. That's a very positive thing. That work, that effort. What's dark is how the Democrats fought so hard to keep it. What's dark is how the Democrats today still find ways to keep people bound to them in different forms of slavery.
Everything is racist. Everything is racist, according to me. Everything is racist.
Yeah. It's everything is racist. Yeah, it all is. It's a sad thing, too, because as I mentioned earlier in the previous segment, all you have to do to be a racist is to win an argument with a liberal. And they assign a certain label to you, which I think is sad. And I have to remember a conversation I had with a coworker several years ago. And it was back not long after Barack Obama was elected, and people started screaming racist about everything. And I just had to say, you know, what people are labeling as racism isn't racism. It's disgust. We're disgusted by behavior, certain behavior. That's not racism. That's looking at the situation of our lives and our society and just being disgusted by it. This is terrible. Why? How can you think this is right? No. We're disgusted by people tearing things apart, painting vulgarities on buildings, burning things. We're tired of people behaving like, well, I'm sad to say it, but they're behaving like animals, destroying everything around them. It's just awful. We're disgusted by things like that. We look at behavior, and behavior is what triggers us. Behavior, not words, not thoughts, not attitudes, but behavior is what triggers. Yeah, I use the word triggers us. And we respond to that by pulling away. And what happens is that those who are misbehaving look at us and say, see, they're pulling away. Those are racists. They can't handle this. No. It's not that we can't handle it. We can. We choose not to associate ourselves with it, and we choose not to be near it, because we find your behavior disturbing, uncalled for, wrong. You have the right to peaceably assemble. That's in the Constitution. You do not have the right to destroy the property of others. You do not have the right to harm other people. You do not have the right to be violent. You have the right to peaceably assemble. We all do. When your behavior crosses certain lines, we're going to take a step back and say, no, I am not down to clown with that. Sorry. There are some people who are, well, some people, a lot of people, who are gasping and clutching their pearls today about what Dan Cathy suggested during a church service. He's the CEO of Chick-fil-A, by the way. That's why the name is familiar. He said that one way for white people to atone for racism in the United States is to shine the shoes of black people to express their shame. Dan Cathy sat down for a televised discussion at Atlanta's Passion City Church Sunday with Pastor Louis Giglio and rapper Lecrae. I've had the privilege of meeting both of those guys. They're great guys. He sat down to engage in what the church described as an open and honest conversation around how racism has plagued our city for generations and the steps we can all take to confront it head on in our church, our neighborhoods, and our hearts. Mr. Cathy shared a story told to him about a revival that happened in Texas where a young man at the service who was gripped with conviction about the racism that was happening in the small town expressed his conviction by kneeling down before an elderly African-American man and shining the gentleman's shoes. Mr. Cathy said the tears began to flow in that service. Quote, so I invite folks to just put some words to action here. He said, standing up and walking over to Lecrae with a shoe brush in his hand. As he knelt down before the rapper, he continued, if we need to find somebody that needs to have their shoes shined, we just need to go right on over and shine their shoes. And whether they got tennis shoes on or not, maybe they got sandals on, it really doesn't matter. But there's a time at which we need to have, you know, some personal action here. Maybe we need to give them a hug, too. After sharing a hug, he walked back to his seat as Lecrae joked, and some stock in Chick-fil-A. It's okay to laugh at that. It's funny. Remaining serious, Kathy held up his brush and explained, I bought about 1,500 of these, and I gave them to all of our Chick-fil-A operators and staff a number of years ago. And so any expressions of a contrite heart, a sense of humility, a sense of shame, a sense of embarrassment, but yet with an apologetic heart, I think that's what our world needs to hear today. Any expression of a contrite heart, a sense of humility, a sense of shame, a sense of embarrassment, with an apologetic heart. So, he was using shoe shining as an illustration, and then clarified that by saying, any expression of a contrite heart. If you really do find yourself with racist attitudes about things, you need to face that. You need to deal with it. You need to look at truth and acknowledge truth and live in it. You need to be honest. You know me, honesty is an important thing. The most important thing. We need to be honest about what we really think about things. I try to be as honest and transparent as I possibly can each day when I sit down at this microphone. I've told you that I grew up with family in rural South Alabama, where people, black and white, had known each other their entire lives, would go to visit each other. This is back in the early 60s. Would go to visit each other and take pies and sit and have coffee and eat pie and talk. Would bump into each other at the A&P and stop and say, how's mom and them? And talk. Black people, white people, mutual respect. Some had more than others. Some had less than others. But there was always mutual respect. That's my childhood. I didn't see the anger. I didn't see the acting out, the misbehavior, until later. What I saw and my experience was respect. And it was common, not uncommon. It was common. And we distanced ourselves from people who didn't share those same values. And there were some. There have always been some. But that's the way my life has been. Now, when I find myself turning a nose up at certain people, it's based on behavior. Not the color of their skin. It's based on behavior. And I hope that it's the same for you. Because remember, all men are created equal. All mankind. All of us. The color of our skin doesn't matter. God made us all equal. It's what we do with that that matters. Our actions, our behaviors, our choices. It's what we do with what we're given that matters. And when politicians and other manipulators, yeah, they're all manipulators. When politicians and other manipulators seek to use skin color to divide us, they're doing it for control and power. They're doing it so that they can play the hero for a downtrodden segment of society. And much of that is manufactured for political purposes. I would say almost all of it is. So let's be honest with ourselves today. And remember that we're all created equal and given inalienable rights by our Creator. And it's up to us what we do with them, not someone pointing fingers at us. And that's it for today. Hey, get the show notes today. I've got some bonus material in there for you today that's important stuff, including the letter I got from All on the Line. I want you to see that. Have a great weekend. God bless you. Unplug, clear your brain, and meet me back here Monday morning for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.